Good? All right. I turned it off. I had it on. God's so good to us, isn't he?
Hallelujah.
Let's all stand together. We're going to pray for Brother Scott. He's not able to even move out the bed. He's had a back attack with his sciatic nerve, and he can't even move right now. So we're going to pray for him. Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful. God, we pray that you reach your hand in that room right now and minister to him. God, we pray all the pain be gone. His back will line up the way it needs to be. And we thank you, God, for touching him. And God, lift him up in his spirit. Encourage him. Right now, we thank you for it. We know that you paid for this very healing, and we call in that healing forth right now on Brother Scott's behalf. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for doing it. We pray for Sister Becky and the children. We pray your hand be upon their lives. We give you praise and honor. And give you glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. God's good to us. Good to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, good morning, everyone. Shabbat shalom. You ought to be so happy to be invited to a high Shabbat, a high holy day. It's amazing. I was thinking about that today. I said, God, we're so privileged. We're so privileged to be invited to be at the spot you want us to be. And it's been written the whole time. When I first started pastoring, you know, I was a simple guy. I was very simple. I barely got through high school. And so I was just honest with God. I said, God, I read some of this stuff. I have no idea what it means. And I hadn't been taught this. And I had good people in my life. They meant well. But they weren't digging in the Word. So I said, God, if you'll just help me. If you'll just help me. I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what you're telling us. And it took some time. How many know it takes time to reprogram something? Because we get programmed. We get programmed on a dailies, just habits. We have little programs we have. And sometimes God's got to reprogram us or redirect us. He's not being mean to you. He said, he's just, I'm going to show you what's better for you. This is better for your house. And so he redirects us sometime. And I'm thankful that he redirected me. But I was a little hard-headed when it comes to hearing from God. So God had to really explain it to me. And he used dreams. And then dreams are one thing. If you don't respond to them, it ain't God's fault. That's your fault. He gives you a dream, you have to respond. And sometimes the dream takes you 2,000 miles away from home. It makes no sense. You got to spend money sometime to get an answer from God. And he puts you in spots, but he answers you. He does what he does. And I can't even tell you how grateful I am to have been on the journey that God has put us on. I can't even tell you how grateful I am. But today I want to approach this with humility and give God all the glory. Give him all the praise. Because truly he deserves it all. Every bit of it. If it wouldn't be for him, we wouldn't know anything. He opens up our understanding. We had eyes to see, but we couldn't see. All of us. We have ear to hear. We couldn't hear. We had a heart that wanted to know, but we didn't know him. Not like he wants to reveal himself. See, we want God, but we want to paint the picture and invite God into the picture. And he never fits. And we wonder why. So we don't like that, so we create this. And we do the same thing. And we don't like that, we create this. And we've been creating stuff into the 30 plus thousands of different organizations in the world because we can't fit God into what we paint. He don't fit. He explains himself. And sometimes we don't like it. We don't like how he says it. We don't like his timing. We don't like that on this feast, he didn't give us a set day. We don't like that. We just want him to tell us the day. He said, this one you have to watch. You have to pay attention on this one. All the rest, he tells us, Yom Kippur is on the 10th of the first. But we know that this one is the first of Tishri, one, but we don't know when it comes because we're closing out 1 month waiting for a new month. Then it comes. And then we have Tishri 10, and then we go into Sukkot. And so I'm going to try to calm myself because I can get a bit anxious about trying to say everything in one breath. Because there's a lot to say. So I'm going to calm myself and realize that we have the whole day. So I'm not sure if you had other plans, but you shouldn't. It's his time. Remember, God didn't say this was the Israel's feast. He said, these are mine. You are not inviting him here. He invited you here. He set the time, the place, and the purpose. I've been invited into something that he set apart. Now, I got to come away from this hearing what the message is that he so urgently sounds the alarm to get us to. Shouldn't that be something that we think about? I ought to come away from this with the message he's trying to get to me. And so understand that this is not about just the gathering. And it's a gathering. You can't have Yom Teruah without a gathering. Why? Because he commands a gathering. This is a Mikra Kodesh. A Mikra Kodesh is a must gather. You can't go around that. It's Mikra Kodesh. It's convocation. It's Kodesh. And so one of the things we have to understand that God did this for a purpose and a reason. And so I'm going to try to get into this, but as I go, so what I did, I asked God as I was praying, I say, God, would you deposit into my spirit the fall feast days? I don't want to miss anything. Deposit the fall feast days into my spirit. And I said, I want to start working in the 6th month to be ready for the 7th month. Because we know what month the fall feast starts. We know that. We have a clear understanding it starts in the 7th month. That's Bible. The record tells us that. We're not guessing 7th month. It tells us that. Now, God kind of hides and then reveals leading up to the first. That's what he does. But I want you to understand that God set these times up for our understanding. So I asked God, I said, I want to not just work on Yom Teruah. It's been my experience as the feast come, I work on whatever one's coming. But I said, I want to do this as one piece. One piece. And so I started working on Sukkot. So I have all the messages for Sukkot. So I'm going to do this in 3 sessions. There'll be a session today. There'll be a session on Yom Kippur. And there'll be a session on Sukkot. So when you're not finished with this message until we packing our stuff up coming home from Sukkot. This is unfinished. I want you to understand that going in. It's unfinished. So I'm going to say things that's hanging. I'm going to leave them hanging until I get there. Is that okay with everybody? So I left you hanging before. And so it's not the first time. But you got to give some time for this because God's looking at this as one thing. And so we're going to do 3 sets. The series moves in 3 movements. 3 movements. Called. That's the call. That's today. Everybody say today was the call. The next thing is the cleanse. You're being cleaned. How many ready to be cleaned? So I don't need cleaning. I'm saved. Trust me, you need cleaning. The fact that you say that, you need cleaning. That's the next thing. The next thing. You come home. I got home last night. I opened up my notes. And God said, that's why I had Brother Jared teach tonight. You come home. He's got a house. He's not like us. We're slack. We're lazy. Sometimes we forget. He's been preparing for us a family life. And we're supposed to go to Sukkot and put our face to the tent and get a sense of that. I opened this up last night, just looking at it, and I say, God, I'm so grateful for your goodness. It wouldn't have been a complete teaching without last night. Wouldn't have been complete. That's why it's important that we move slow in God's presence and we listen, because he might say, get your stuff ready, go down to Beerus. I want to use you. You don't have the full picture? Then you got to get your face in the floor and God give you the picture. But it's all matches. It all goes together. We're going to be called. That's today. We're going to be cleansed. That's Yom Kippur. Then we're going to come home. That's Sukkot. There's nothing like going somewhere and then coming home. That excitement about going home. That's what's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about going home. It's exciting to me. It's something that we have to give God some time. Sometimes he's got to massage the word in us. It's not just going to be a quick little sermonette. Sometimes he's got to massage it in you. And so when you feel like you're getting unfocused, just slap yourself a couple times, stand up, run around and do something, and sit back down and get ready again, because we're not done. You got to receive everything that God has for you. This is so important. It's so valuable. And so we see in Leviticus, I'm going to try to do something that's been one of my most difficult things to do, and that's read the text without commenting as I go. Because I wrote my comments down further, and I want to just go right into it. So I'm gonna try to read this for you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to comment some. But I'm going to read the text. This text that I'm reading, I've never read it in its entirety when it comes to any Yom Teruah service I've ever done. I've done them in parts, different Teruahs, but never in its entirety. These core texts, they're core to have a full understanding of what Teruah is dealing with and what is saying to us. So I'm going to read it to you. Now, as far as the Yom Teruah, he gives us three verses. That don't seem like, well, that's not bad. We got three. He's got 40 for Yom Kippur. He explains some stuff about Yom Kippur. That's some serious, when you're in the cleansing, that's some serious stuff. But he gives us three verses for Yom Teruah. So what do you have to do? You have to go to other texts that connect with Yom Teruah and bring them in so we can let the scripture interpret scripture. Does that make sense to you? So one of the things about Sukkot, now Leviticus 23, let's go to the text because we're going to start at the beginning. Leviticus 23, I need to grab the water real quick. Leviticus 23, thank you, my brother. Verse 23. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe saying, verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh new moon. How do we know it's the seventh new moon? Because he tells us. In the seventh new moon, on the first day of the new moon. So when did that start? Well, we can go, we have cheat codes today. You can go to the The internet, it tells you when the first is. It just tells you. But that's not what God told us to do. What did he tell us to do? So when I left here yesterday evening, I'm looking to the west the whole time. I get outside by my house, I'm looking to the west. I'm trying to see something. Because that's what we're told to do. Because we know that you only have so many days in a month. That's a set thing. We have technology now. But you should never let the technology be the thing that you settle on. You settle on the Word of God. You settle on what He said, not technology. And I thank God for technology. I thank God that we can pull up this stuff real fast. It's all great. But that's not how the anointing comes.
Hallelujah.
The anointing comes when you put your face in the ground and you spend time with God. You can't cheat it. You might be smart, but without anointing, there's nothing there. You got to get down. You got to humble yourself before God. You can't cheat it. You can't do it. There's a lot of smart people in the world, but there's nothing that breaks the yoke and removes the burden. I want to break yokes and remove burdens. I woke up this morning and was looking at this and just let it marinate, God. And then I went and prayed, and when I went and prayed, the Lord showed me Sister Jasmine. And I was like, well, I wasn't thinking about that. And it had to do with this song they just sang in a cappella. And the enemy is trying to build a wall of fear around her. But God's taking that down today. Your praise is an acoustic weapon of mass destruction. The stones won't be able to stay stones no more. The wall can't stay a wall no more. God has called us to be more than we are. He said, you shall be called repairers of the breach, restorers of places to dwell. What is places to dwell? It's the house. Somebody got to come up and say, God, you know, and I said, well, God, I don't want to, you never want to embarrass nobody. You don't want to point nobody out. But I'm here to give God with God the glory and give him the praise. I went up on that levee and I hit my little trail. And the moment I hit that trail, God brought you to my memory. Just like that. He said, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. I'm putting walls down and your house will be completely full. Just like God designed it from the beginning. Nothing can stop that. Nothing.
Yeah.
It'll be you wrestle with thoughts, right? Well, it's not my spot. Well, if it's not my spot, whose spot is it? Whose is it? God's good to us. And listen, God can't not bless when the seed has been sown. The seed was sown. The soul went out to sow the seed. The sower sowed the word. The word came forth to us. We received that word. God's going to then return that blessing quickly. How many thank God for his goodness? And so this Yom Teruah, it's talking about speak to the children of Israel and say in the seventh new moon, on the first day of the new moon, you shall have a rest, a remembrance of Teruah. Yeah. That Teruah is 8643, a remembrance of Teruah, a set apart gathering. You do no silver work, you do no silver work, and you shall bring an offering made by fire. So that's the three verses we got on Yom Teruah. How many want to know what he's talking about there? What he's telling us to do when it comes to Yom Teruah? It's not just you have a day, you meet, you eat a few snacks, and you go home. There's some things being said. Now I want you to go with me to the top of the chapter, 23 verse 1, because these four verses go with that verse. I added four verses to explain Teruah to you, just like that, because these four verses go with those three verses. Let's read them together. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Let me stop there. How many feel like you're a part of the children of Israel? And if you're not, I got to preach a different message for you today. If you don't figure that out yet, we're a part of Israel. And if we're not a part of Israel, we have no covenant. We have none. I'm a part of Israel, so when I was seeing the Bible and Jehovah spoke to Moshe about Israel, he's speaking to me. Is that okay? He spoke to Israel and said to them, the appointed times, let me see that, the appointed times of Yehovah, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings. There's that Mikra Kodesh again. That Mikra Kodesh, very important, because they're set apart gatherings. If it's a set apart gathering, is there an option to be there? No, there's no option. It's set apart gatherings. It's a Mikra Kodesh. This is convocation. This is God's time. How many want to be in God's spot in God's time and to receive from what he has for you? Very important. So he says in the first, again, these first four verses go with Yom Teruah. They go with all of the feasts, as a matter of fact. They're the explanation of the feast. It's telling us how you handle the feast. What's your posture? What are you supposed to be doing? Well, he's explaining it to us. He said, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings, my appointed times. Are they your appointed times? They're his appointed time. These are not Jewish feasts, by the way. That's what you get. Well, I don't know why you want to do Jewish feasts. That's what I was hearing when I first started. I was hearing that coming from every angle you can imagine. You know, we're not Jewish. Why would you want to keep Jewish feasts? And I'm like, well, that's not what the Bible's saying. And I asked one pastor, have you ever read this? Why don't you read and call me back? You think I got that phone call? Read what it says. Very carefully. He says, these are my appointed times. My appointed times are these. And he explains it. 6 days work is done. So he's starting to talk about the first appointed time. He's explaining it. 6 days work is done, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of rest. A what? A Mikra Kodesh. There it is again. What it is? So every week you have a Mikra Kodesh. It's not an option. He's telling you, be at Shabbat. Period. Be there. Don't let nothing stop you from being at Shabbat, because it's a Mikra Kodesh. Very important, that word, because you'll see God use that time and time again. He's calling these convocations. They're not options. He's not giving us a list of, if we want to do it, we can. If not, he's God is love. He loves me no matter, as long as in my heart I'm giving him praise. But he has a certain type of praise he wants, a certain type of heart that he wants. When you go before God, he says, you shall love him with all your heart, not some of your heart. All your heart, you have to give that praise to him. So these are important principles that we have to understand. So 6 days work is done, but 7 days a Shabbat of rest, a set apart gathering, a Mikra Kodesh. You do no work. It is a Shabbat to Yehovah in all your dwelling. Very important. Verse 4. And these are the appointed times of Yehovah. What are they? Mikra Kodesh, set apart gatherings. Look those words up. They're important. Mikra Kodesh. I have them. I have some of them wrote down for you, but it's much further down in my explanation. Which you are to proclaim as they are appointed times. You are to proclaim them. They're appointed times. So how do you proclaim something like a day like today and you're not there? Well, you're not proclaiming it. You can't proclaim it if you're not at the set apart, the Mikra Kodesh. Now, is that my view on this? It's his view. I've read nothing about my view and my interpretation. This is what he said. This is God's explaining how we handle ourselves around these days. He's explaining it. Should we take him at his word? Should we pay attention to how he's explaining it? So if we pay attention to how he explains it, we're not going in the woods. We go in the woods so many times with things. People get way off in these things. And at some point, it gets to the point they know more than God. And they'll build these citadels of doctrinal beliefs, even in the Torah movement. In the Messianic movement, they'll build these citadels, and they get in them and say, we got it. And then what God has to do is to come take those things down. And that part of the blowing of Teruah is what he's trying to do. He's trying to take all that stuff down. That's why Teruah is spoken of in Joshua 6:5. That's why it's spoken of. Because Teruah is necessary for when you have walls, when you have these walls, it's necessary. And so one of the things I saw Sister Jasmine doing, I know she's busy with the baby and it's okay, but I saw her just stomping her feet and giving her teruah and stomping her feet, and I saw a breakthrough. But she was moving. She was doing it because her God is fighting for her. Her God's put all this together because he's got a plan, and the enemy wants to fence in a fear, a doubt, a delay. But God's not going to have it. And we're going to stand with him.
Amen.
We're going to stand with him. So when she's up here laying on, we still got time. And she's shouting, we're going to be right here. Who's going to help me?
Amen.
Who's going to help me? You understand? We have to let God be God. He's explaining himself to us. We don't have to figure this out. He's telling us what he wants. He's telling us these things. And so now let me read to you. Let me get through this text. I'm just pausing to slow my mind down a little bit. Numbers chapter 10. Now we took these Numbers chapter 10 and we brought out these silver trumpets because that's where it's talked about. Numbers chapter 10 verse 1. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe saying, make two silver trumpets for yourselves. Make them of beaten works, and you shall use them for the gathering of the congregation and for the breaking of the camp. What are they used for? Gathering the congregation and breaking of the camp. Now, what did we just say about the teruah? It's for the mikra kodesh, the gathering. So he's telling Moshe later on, now he's later on giving us in Numbers, he's saying to help out because the people's growing and camps are growing. He said, make two silver trumpets for yourselves and make them of beaten works, and you shall use them for the gathering of the congregation and for the breaking of camp. And when you blow both of them, all the congregation shall meet before you at the door of the tent of appointments. That's why we blow both of them, right? We blow both of them. All the congregation meets together. Now, I don't know about you, but teruah is about a mikra kodesh. So we should, don't have to, you can do whatever you want, but we should kind of read on, read past the three verses and say, okay, God, what else are you saying about blowing trumpets? Because this is an important time, right? Especially in Thessalonians, it says at the last trumpet. What is that one? Was that one today? Was this a resemblance of that? You know, we got to know these things. But you understand that God says that these trumpets are important, or he wouldn't know how to make them. And they shall blow one, then the leaders and the heads of thousands of Israel shall gather to you. And when you blow a shout, a teruah, that's the word there in Numbers 5, verse 5, you shall blow a teruah, 8643. The camp that lies on the east side shall depart. The camp on the east shall depart. And when thou blowest a shout, a teruah, the second time, the camp that lies on the south side shall depart. How many see this? And they blow the teruah for them to depart. And when the assembly is to be assembled, you blow, but do not shout. Let me see that. That word is ruah, not teruah, but ruah. When the assembly is to be assembled, you blow, but do not shout. What did he tell them in Jericho? When you march for the 6 days, you do what? You say nothing. Who directs our shout? Who directs our praise? You understand? So we have to, there's a time for everything under the sun, everything. And God gives direction, but we pay no attention to what he says. There's a certain time to shout, and walls come down. And today is that day. Today is that day. We've been green-lighted for the shout. Are you hearing me? We've been green-lighted for the shout. And everybody's The Lord just showed me, he's very specific, Sister Jasmine. Even the beige color she got on. And I was like, okay, God. But I asked him, I said, what about everybody else? He said, everybody's got walls. There's not a person in that building that won't have walls. Some type of wall in your life. Some people got walls of finance, walls of health. And it's a number of things. And they've been up for quite a while. Quite some time. He said, I give you teruah to dismantle that. But your praise is the acoustic weapon of mass destruction. You got a power you possess inside of you in your shofar that nothing can stop. No devil in hell can stop it. Can't be stopped. But we got to use it, and we got to use it with authority. Sometimes you got to go in the mirror. If you've just been having multiple bad days, you go in the mirror and says, not today. Today's a new day, and you're going to walk in health and wholeness. And you're going to have the joy of the Lord as your strength. Just do it. Look at yourself. You know what we're best at? We're best at looking at somebody else. Because it takes all the eyes off of me. We want to cast it on somebody else. Quit casting shadows. Let's deal with the reality. And this is what Teruah is all about. It's to wake you up. To let us realize that we're not all that. We're on our way. But we're not all that. And if we wouldn't need it, he would never have this sequence. We need it. We need it very much, so we need it in our life. Because we have 10 days of awe. Now we better be ready for that Yom Kippur. We better be ready for it. And so if you're still sleeping and you haven't awakened during Teruah, you're not ready for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur could come, you could go to it, you can participate in it and fast and eat. You can even fast a day. The day of fast, you can fast. And it'll pass you by and you get none of the benefits of what our Mashiach did when he paid in full the Yom Kippur atonement for us, to put us at one with him. We lose that value. So it's important that we take some time for these times because they're his times. You and I were invited here. He invited us. And we got to let him declare what he declares about himself. And so we see this in verse 8. It said, and the sons of Aaron the priest blow with the trumpets, and it shall be for you for a law forever throughout your generations. How long is this law? And when you go into battle in your land against the enemy that distress you. How many have been distressed before? How many's got enemies out there that distress you? Some of your enemies got names, like first names. They distress you. What are you going to do? Then you shall ruah. You shall ruah, not to rule. You shall ruah. That's 7321. You shall ruah. That's what he's telling you. You shall shout. How do you get rid of these things? You shout. Now listen, you don't have to have some smooth shout. It don't have to be melodic shout. Because remember, the shofar is not a melody. Teruah is not a melody. It's not trying to have everything perfectly done. It's not a melody. It's a shout. It's some's high, some's low. It's pitchy. It's all over the place. But you getting this crazy shout. I mean, ah! Sometimes you got to face your enemies that distress you, and you got to let out a shout, a ruah, for the breakthrough. That's what Teruah is all about. It's getting us awoke to be teshuvah before Yom Kippur. It's getting us ready for Yom Kippur, that we shuvah to him. We spend some time. And so he says, you shout with the trumpet and you shall be remembered before Yehovah Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemies. And in the day of your gladness, let me see that. And in the day of your gladness, and in your what? Appointed times, and at the beginning of your new moons, you shall blow the trumpets over your ascending offerings and over your slaughter offering of peace offerings. And they shall be a remembrance for you before your Elohim. I am Yehovah your Elohim. Let me see that. Is that important? Very important. What does this have to do with Yom Teruah, it has everything to do with Yom Teruah, because he's speaking of Yom Teruah, because he says, in the days of your appointments or your new moons. Is this not a new moon? He's speaking directly, but it's an indirect language to Yom Teruah. So don't get discouraged about three verses. I automatically added four to the top of them. And now I'm adding more to you so you and I can see the Bible is explaining exactly the condition that we need to present ourselves in when it comes to Yom Teruah. Very important. And our master has a lot to say about it. Now the book of Yoel, chapter 2, verse 1, says this. Now again, don't think that I'm all over the place. I'm giving you the base core text for understanding Teruah. We're going to go back and take our time through some of these, but I'm giving you all the text first. It says in Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the shofar in Zion and sound an alarm. That word alarm is ruah. Sound an alarm, 7321, in my set apart mountains. And let all the inhabitants of the earth do what? Tremble, for the day of Yehovah is coming, for it is near. It don't mean when the trumpet blows, he's here, he's just near. I mean, no, when he's near, we got to snuggle up against him when he's near. And so what should be your thoughts? You know, because tomorrow's going to come. If you treat tomorrow like a regular day, you're not listening at all to me. You're going to, you know, it's no requirement there, but it's not regular. It's far from being regular. You should be praying more. You should be reading more. You should be putting yourself before the Father, and you should be examining your life. You should examine yourself. What did God wake me up for, and what am I doing about it before Yom Kippur? That should be your posture every day until Yom Kippur gets here. Yoel chapter 2, verse 12. Yet even now declares Jehovah, turn to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Let me see that. Verse 13. Tear your heart and not your garments. Turn back to Yehovah Elohim, for he shows favor and is compassionate, patient, and of great loving commitment, and he shall relent concerning the evil. So we see that he's explaining to us kind of how we should start the conduct, our conduct, what it should look like when it comes to Yom Teruah. And I know I'm going to jump ahead here because I have to, because the set apart spirit just reminded me to jump ahead. Matthew, Yeshua is telling us a story about 10 virgins. They got their oil in their lamp, they lit their lamps, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to show up. It's a parable about a wedding. It's a celebration that's coming. And the Bible says they all slumbered and slept. All of them. There were 10 wise, 5 wise, and 5 foolish. Now we talked about wise and foolish house builders last night. Same language. We have 5 wise and 5 foolish. And before the bridegroom comes, he does what? At midnight. Sounds the alarm. Sounds the alarm. The alarm sounds. And what happens? Everybody wakes up. That's Teruah. He's waking us up. What is he waking us up for? To get ready for the fall feast days. Hallelujah. He's waking us up to get ready. You should never have a Teruah without Sukkot on your mind. Because that's the destination. That's the destination. It's a non-issue about what we do during the fall feast days if we understand how God designed it and laid it out. Because he tells us, explains it very clearly. The destination is Sukkot. So he sounds the alarm. Now when the alarm sounds, how many of the virgins wake up? All of them. They're still all in church. They're still doing their thing. But how many responded to Teruah? Five of them lit their lamps. Because that's what you do. How many are going to light your lamp from today on, especially leading up to Yom Kippur? You got to light your lamp. You got to be on fire for God. This got to be serious to you. That's why I said you can't count even the non-feast requirement days as off days in the fall feast. You have to treat them with reverence and respect, and you got to keep your lamp burning tomorrow, the next day, because they're important to your life and what God has for you. And so what we see is five of them went to light their lamps, and they had no oil. So what the five says, you know, so what we think, well, you know, if the five were wise and they were real nice and they were loving, they would have loaned some oil to the poor five foolish ones. This is not you doing something for the other person. Yom Teruah is you doing what you better do for you, because you're no good for the other person if you don't get it right. You're not good. So, you know, the Christian thing to do would have been the five give some oil to them. And then they all run out and none of them ready. So what did they tell him? Say, go to the sellers and buy oil for yourself. They was left with no choice but to do that. So they ran and to the sellers. And while they were going, the bridegroom came. Did he come at the sound? No. He came a little later while you're buying oil at the sellers. So Yom Teruah is telling us, get your house in order now. Because if you don't, you're not going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. You're not going to be ready. Because he comes at the last trumpet. How many trumpets are there? Many. There are many trumpets. Throughout the feast days, he said, blow them at all the appointed times. You blow them, for Pesach, we blow the trumpet. Why? He said to. I just read it to you. And you go to Numbers, we look at Numbers 10, and we see he's telling us these things. He's telling us you gotta blow these, you're blowing these trumpets. He's telling us to. But the last time he's gonna blow that trumpet, you're gonna be home.
Hallelujah.
You're gonna be home. This week got me this morning. And Elohim himself is gonna come in.
Hallelujah.
Elohim himself. He's not gonna send an agent. He already did that. He's coming. Himself. Your father, who knows how to take care of his children and build his house. If you let him build it, except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain that built it. We had all this.
Yes.
This is spot on. I wouldn't have wanted to go into Yom Teruah without that word. That's how masterful God is. He's so precise. Now, me and Brother Jared, we love each other. But we don't spend time on the phone chit-chatting about what we're going to talk about.
Right.
He don't need to hear from me. He need to hear from God. I got to hear from God. And you don't hear from God because you have a leisure walk with him.
Right.
You got to do it consistently. And you got to say, God, I lay before you. I cry out to you. He may not give it to you the first 10 times. But if you show up on the 11th time, he may be right there saying, come here, son. Come here. And he can deposit in you instantly what takes you months to get, because that's how good he is. But your lack is not somebody else. Yom Teruah is not you pointing the finger. Yom Teruah is about you. It's about me. My lack when I come to Yom Kippur is going to be my fault, not somebody else's fault. You have to spend time with God, and he's waking you up to do that, because we've been sleeping. We've been slumbering and sleeping. And he's telling us, get up. It's time to get up. Listen, They're going to run to the bar. They're going to go everywhere they can to try to get it, because once they see it, they hit a wall, it's going to bring fear in them. But while they're gone, the Bible says while they were gone, the bridegroom came. They missed it. Do you want to be that person? Spend all your life chasing something you never could obtain? We have to grab hold to these principles because they're so important to us. Psalms 47, verse 1, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout, Ruah, to Elohim with the voice call." The word voice there is call, a voice of singing. That word call means, could mean thunder. It's crazy shout. Hey! Sometimes you got to face your circumstance. You got to face the problem head on. David came to this spot where the giant was, he was just making a mockery of the whole camp of Israel. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he can defy the armies of the living Elohim? I'm not going to allow this to happen." So he wants to shout, he shout right back to him. "Hey, I come here to fight you. I'm not going to stand for that anymore." He stood up, and God brought great deliverance. But you and I have to understand, sometimes you got to lift your call, your voice. And that's what Teruah is about. What you tired of? What was you frustrated about before you got to the fall feast? What was it? What's bugging you at work? What's the stuff that's driving you crazy? Teruah is about you settling that. Because you have to be ready for Yom Kippur. Once the alarm sounded, there's no pause button. You can't hit the pause. Wait. There's no wait. The time is moving. And we're going to be at Yom Kippur. You're going to either be ready or not. Ready or not. You know, when we were kids, we'd play hide and seek in the evening time. When it's dusk, you know, mama lets you stay out a little late. And, you know, where we lived in the village, they had clotheslines. How many know what clotheslines are? You know, nobody knows what clotheslines are today. They put them on a machine, you know. But they're clotheslines. And we had two steel pipes in our yard with the clothesline. You hang the clothes on. And sometimes you got to be careful what you're doing, because you'll run into a steel pipe. Ask me how I know.
How you know?
Let me tell you, I had a, what they call it, hematoma? I had a hematoma on my forehead. I looked like I was trying out for the Planet of the Apes. And let me tell you, my mom and them, they didn't jump. Say, "Oh, we got to take him to the hospital." I mean, I was out there. You know, that's blood. A hematoma, that's blood under the skin. You know what they do? They walk you around the village until you keep you awake. We're going walking. I'm tired. You ain't tired. Come on. You ain't tired. Come on. You'll be all right. Put a little ice on that. Pat that down. That's how they handled it back then. Praying, you know. Pray, God, keep him alive. I'm so glad they prayed to keep me alive. But that's the stuff. So, you know, you have these things happen. But you have to understand your voice, and this is why I'm making that, brought me to that story. I don't know how I got, but let me tell you how I got there. We used to say, "Ready or not, here I come." That's what we used to say. You picked me last time. You know, we argue for 20 minutes. The sun's going down, and so you lose, and so you it. So you got to count 1, 2, 3. Then you go, "Ready or not, here I come." Let me tell you, Yom Teruah's trying to let you know that our Mashiach saying, "Ready or not, I'm coming." But he's giving you this time from Teruah to Yom Kippur to get it, deal with it. Deal with it. Don't go into Yom Kippur with walls in your life. Because you'll come out of that, you fasted for what? Absolutely nothing. You get nowhere. So we're going through motions. We're just going through the motions. We're not getting the benefit of the, if he appointed them, there got to be benefits with it. We're talking about a God who owns everything. The earth is his, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell in it. He has everything. You ought to come out of the eighth day ready to take on the world and do what God wants you to do and have everything you need to get it done. Because it's available to us. We have to tap into this resource. And it's a wonderful resource, but we're not tapping into it because we skip over things too much. We're skipping. We want to get down to the brass tacks and get down where the rubber meets the road and look at what God's saying. Amen? So he said, use this terminology, ruah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to Elohim with the voice of singing. For Yehovah Most High is awesome. A great sovereign over how much of the earth? All the earth. He subdues people under us. Does what to them? Subdues people. How many know so at least one person you want God to subdue? You say, well, God ain't into that. I just read it to you. There's enemies of God. And there's enemies of the word. Yeshua talked about that. He said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. But God subdues them. He subdues them. But we're not utilizing this authority, this power that he wants. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. Nations under our feet. Verse 4, he chooses our inheritance for us. Would you let him do it? Or you want to keep choosing? I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. What if he chooses it for you? Do you trust him enough that he'll give you the best? What did he give Israel? He gave them Goshen land. I'm going to let God choose it for us. When you come to a spot you can do nothing, you got to accept that. Who you are, and you got to go back to the word of God and let God step in and let God provide your inheritance. My inheritance is great. If God's the giver of the inheritance, you ever wondered about Yeshua's glory? It was a given glory. His Father's glory was underived. Nobody gave God his glory. He self-exists. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. But Yeshua's glory was given by the Father. So how great is the one who gives glory? Yes. How great is that? So think about this. God is, he chooses our inheritance for us. Wouldn't it be great to just let God choose your inheritance rather than you choosing it? You think God don't have your, he don't have the best set up for you? He chose Israel's inheritance in a foreign land. So your position, where you at, and your situation, where you at, well, I got this, I got that. You can't throw enough out there to confuse God. When he chooses your inheritance, he'll give it to you in a foreign land. He gave him the best of the land. Was there any land better in Mitzrayim could he gave him? No, gave him the best. He wanted the most prized, most sought after land. He gave that to Israel because he chose their inheritance. And when they left, when he freed them from Egypt, he already had Canaan land for them on the other side of the Jordan, already picked out for them. Who did he establish that covenant with? Abraham. He told him, he said, get the animals and split them in pieces. It's the first red carpet that we ever see in the world. And usually two people have to walk the red carpet for it to be cut a covenant. You know what God did? He walked it himself. When he could swear by no higher power, he swore by himself, I'm going to do it. And I believe that. I believe that he's going to do that for every person here today. If we'll understand Teruah the right way, it changes everything about us. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the excellency of Yaakov, whom he loved, Selah. Elohim shall go up with a shout, verse 5, that's Teruah, with a shout. Yehovah with the voice of the shofar. Sing praise to Elohim, sing praise to our sovereign, sing praise. For Elohim is sovereign over all the earth, sing praise with understanding. Elohim shall reign over the nations, Elohim shall sit on his set-apart throne. Nobles of people shall be gathered together, and the people of Elohim of Abraham, For the shield of the earth belongs to Elohim. He shall be greatly exalted. Now I want you to flip your Bible over to the Renewed Writings and give you a few verses concerning Teruah in the Renewed Writings. Again, not direct language, but indirect language, how God always writes. He writes that away. Now, he does that for a reason, because it's timing that he reveals mystery. And so very important that we understand that. So let's look at Teruah in Romans 12:1. I call upon you, therefore, brethren. How does he call us during Yom Teruah? With the shofar, with the shout. In Romans 12, he says, I call upon you, therefore, brethren, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies a living offering set apart, well-pleasing, to Elohim, your reasonable worship. Let me see that. This is Yom Teruah language in Romans 12:1. This language is telling us that we have a responsibility. Now, we'll see as we go through this how important that is. Romans 13, verse 8. He says, owe no one any matter except to love one another. For he who loves another has filled the Torah. Verse 9, for this you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other command, let me see that. Any other command, it is summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Was that not said last night? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love does no evil to a neighbor. We know, we think that's the way to handle it. During Yom Teruah, you better change the direction on how you do things. So you might come in, you might be having these thoughts. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When the alarm sounds, he's trying to tell you, wake up. You ever had somebody that's dead set in their mind, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, and you want to slap them 3 or 4 times and say, hey, you better wake up, you're about to make an error. That's what Yom Teruah is doing. Because we get our mind made up. I'm going to do it this way. I got it all figured out. And he sounds the alarm to say, hey, you better rethink this. I'm giving you 10 days to do it. Because on the 10th day of the first month is Yom Kippur. Are you ready for that at 1 minute? Are you ready for that? Because that's what gets you through the entire 14 days leading up to Sukkot. That's what gets you through it. That's what establishes you to walk in that tent and look up through that light and see the stars in the skies and say, God, we need you. That's what gets you ready. That's why he designed it that way. Love does no evil to a neighbor, therefore love is completion of the Torah. Verse 11, and do this knowing the time that is already the hour for us to what? Wake up from sleep. Hypnos is the Greek word there. It's where we get the English word hypnosis. You're either going to wake up or you're going to be under the spell. You can go the entire fall feast days under the spell. You're just putting tents up and camping out. You might as well just go to a park and just camp out because you're under a spell. I've been to those Sukkot before. People's under a spell. They have no connection with God whatsoever. They just dare to be there. Hypnosis happened. They're sleeping. They're under. Well, we get the English word hypnosis. You've been put in that condition from various reasons. Could be the last time you got mad and you never settled it. Sickness lingers because of unforgiveness. Never settled it. But he's telling us during Yom Teruah, settle your accounts. Settle them. Get them done. I'm giving you some grace time. I'm giving you 10 days to get settle those accounts, because when you come to Yom Kippur, you got to be ready. We don't want to walk up to the Father and receive the blood of his own son unworthy, do we? Do you think that's the posture that's correct? Not at all. We got to be participants in this. We got to spend some time. You ought to be getting yourself ready for some serious prayer time starting tonight and moving on to Yom Kippur. You ought to be serious. I mean, schedule yourself. You know, how many of us have your phone? Mine's right here, but you go on your phone and you can tap on it and you can find out how many hours you spent for the week. Calculate your hours, and if your prayer doesn't exceed that, you're going to have some serious problems. Because we get lost in it, right? But praying, it's a struggle. You got to make yourself do it. You got to put yourself in a spot where I'm not doing anything else. You do that. We have it inside of us to do it. We got to get motivated. And that's what Yom Teruah is there for. It's to wake you up and say, hey, let's do this. And you got to be loud about it. Yom Teruah is not a quiet feast. It's loud. It's almost obnoxious to people. Some people, it's obnoxious, not to God. Well, you ain't got to do all that shouting. You don't, but I'm going to do it anyway. You might not like it, but he likes it. And I'm here to please him. I'm not here to please you. And so, you know, some people say, well, you know, I went over there. They just get a little beside themselves. They'll raise their feet up. They'll dance a little bit. They get a little crazy singing. You might not like that, but he likes it. And remember what we're here for. We're not inviting him to this thing. He invited us to it. You don't get invited to somebody's party and you go in there and say, well, I don't like that decoration, start tearing it down, and you, so I'm going to put this up. And you ain't paid for nothing. Let me tell you, he paid for everything. You're the only reason, you're here because of him. Amen. We only got what we got because of him. We don't get to come in and start redecorating the scene. It's him. We got invited to this thing. And so when we come in, we can follow the text, and he tells us what we should be doing during Yom Teruah. And it's not just blow the shofar a little bit and we all go home, we eat a few snacks. That's not it. He wants to get down and he wants to meddle in your life a little bit. And I like meddling. He wants to dig in there and say, hey, well, did you think about this right here? Have you gave it some thought? Because this has been nagging at your life for a long time. You dealt with all this, and I appreciate that, but you ain't dealt with this yet. Are you ready to stand before me clean? Because what is Yom Kippur? Cleaning. It's cleaning. And so, what is he cleaning me for? Getting ready to move in. About to move in to the house. Amen? How many thank God for that? So, and do this knowing the times that is already at the hour for us to awake from sleep. For now our deliverance is nearer than when we did believe. It's nearer. And so are we nearer this Yom Teruah than we were last year's Yom Teruah? Absolutely. I mean, that's math 101. We're closer because we're moving in that direction. And so we're closer, and he's telling us, he constantly does it. And it's a memorial. It's a zikron. It's a memorial. He's telling us for what? To be remembered, and we're going to get to that. That's a very important part, that remembering, because he don't tell us what it is. What we're remembering, he don't tell us. He tells us about the other ones in the other feast days, what we're to remember. But in this Teruah, he says nothing about it. And it's almost, I was reading a few things online, and even in the Jewish world, they say it's a mystery that's 2,000 years old. We don't know. Let me tell you who knows. God knows, and he wants you to know, and he wants me to know, but he ain't going to tell us when there's no hunger there. He says, seek me while I may be found, call upon me while I'm near. And when is he near? Is he near today than he was yesterday? Yesterday was a Shabbat, so it was like bam, bam. Yeah, back to back Shabbats. Is he near? Absolutely is near. So what do we call on him? God, I tell him all the time, Lord, I don't know how to do this stuff. This is above my education. But I know you know, and I'm listening to you. If you tell me, I'll put it down and I'll speak your word the way you deliver it to me. And so we see that happening. Now watch verse 12. The night is far advanced, the day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Works of darkness have no place in the fall feast. No place. Not one bit of it. We have to put the works of darkness on and we have to walk in this light. Amen. How many know that's important? The armor of light. Now verse 13 says, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in wild parties, drunkenness, not in living together, and in decency, not in fighting and envy. Verse 14, but put on the Master Yeshua Messiah and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. Where are we going to put on the Mashiach at? What feast is that? That we put him on. We put him on at Yom Kippur. Because he sacrificed for us, and then we put him on. We're walking as he wants us to walk. We're talking as he wants us to talk. We're becoming what he wants us to become, not the opposite of that. Now notice that there's some things that disqualify us from putting him on. What are those things? Works of darkness, wild parties, drunkenness, living together. You know, it's the enemy wants people to live together. He don't want you married. He don't want you to build a house. He wants you to do it your way. Do it your way. We have whole ethnic groups that went down this way and they lived their life that way. And that ethnic group never rises because they have no fathers in the home. The home's built wrong. It'll never work. It's not by God's design. God's design says, if you're going to put on me, you can't do these things. And this stuff is just not preached. Because we want to get everybody cute saved. We want them just to be so cute and they say, but they, you know, we don't want to meddle in nothing. And they're cute saved. And they're fine as long as everything goes. The first time they have a resistance, the whole thing blows up. They have an implosion, and it's difficult, and it's tough after that. But God's wanting to build you right. How many want to be built by God? You know, we go around, we say these statements, these viral things that, well, he's built different. Well, how many know when God builds you, you are built different? Yeah. You can believe that. You're built different, but you're ready for the kingdom. You're ready for the tent. You're ready to move in the house when he builds you. Until he builds you, you're not built right. He said, unless he build a house, we labor in vain that built it. He's the one that has to build it. So how many know you're built different? Is it okay that he builds on you a little bit after this alarm sound? Is it okay he builds on you the next few days leading up to Yom Kippur? Are you going to tell him that? Are you going to go to prayer and say, God, work on me. I've been having this leaking roof for a long time. I need you to work on me. I know you're not pleased with it. And I've been putting it off. And this busted window has been busted for a long time. Work on me, God. My floor has been rotten. Work on me, God. You got to admit these things. You got to let God come in and work on it. Because some of these actions disqualify you. Hallelujah. We have to put on the Master Yeshua, Messiah, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. So I would make no provision for the lust of the flesh. The flesh is going to lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It's a war. Constantly going on. But this is, the alarm sounded, we're supposed to wake up, and I'm not going to make any provision for the flesh. I got to get myself ready for Yom Kippur. And we're not talking about that you're not saved. We're not talking about you got to wait for Yom Kippur to get saved. We're talking about if you don't let God finish the work of the cross in you, you come to full sanctification the way he wants you to be and let God deal with you throughout your life, then you've arrived. You stopped at a false finish line. So God was wrong when he set these fall feast days up. You don't really need them. That's what a lot of people believe. You don't really need them. You know, Yeshua came, he fixed everything. You ain't got nothing, you have nothing to worry about. Why did God keep these things, and why he's making sure that we follow these things? Because he knows that in life, walls pop up. You're going along good. I mean, you're a family unit. You're doing good. And out of nowhere, this wall came. Whoa. And it boxes you in. And then all of a sudden, the enemy comes in and starts sowing division and strife and all kind of anxiety. Before you know it, you don't know what to do. So he sets this up so we can come, hear the sound, and get ready for him to come in and do what he does. He's good to us. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Now, Brother Jarrett read some Ephesians 5, but he read the beginning of it. And I was hoping he'd stop. Just stop him, God. Stop him. He'd been on this stuff the whole time. Just stop him. But he dealt with that love part at the top. What we got to do. But it goes in 14, it says, that is why he says, wake up, you who sleeps. He said, wake up, you who sleeps. And arise from the dead, and Messiah shall shine on you. Now, what does he call sleep here? What does he relate sleep to here? Being what? Dead. So he sounds Teruah to do what? Wake us from death. He's such a caring God. How many know God knows how to build us better than we think we know? He institutes an appointed time called Teruah to wake you from death, because sometimes we get mesmerized about what we think we're going to do, and we don't realize we fell asleep and we're headed to death wide open, and he has to sound an alarm. Sometimes it does it, and it don't match a point in time, but just in life in general, he has to wake you up sometimes. Anybody ever had that happen, where he gets your attention? Because it's not that we don't want to deliberately do these things. We're just making bad decisions. We're making covenants with unauthorized things that God's not approved of. And so he's got to get you away from that. And he does that from time to time. One of the times that God got my attention was a few years ago. I was, you know, full wide open in the fishing and hunting and guide business, doing good. Good doesn't mean right. It's good, and I thank God for that good. But I'm out by myself, running hard, running fast. It's what you got to do in that business, or you don't make it. You don't survive. You got to go hard and fast. Can anybody testify to that? You got to go hard and fast. It's an industry. It don't wait on you, and they got 100 people lined up to take that business from you. So I'm on the boat by myself, and I got this. I could drive this thing with my eyes closed. No problem. Just going through the marsh, everything. I dropped the two customers off, and I had a set of decoys I'm going to go pick up. So I ease over there, got my stick, put it out there, and I picked the first decoy up, put it on, picked the next. I said, oh, I got this. Went to get the third decoy, and the next thing, when I woke up, I was in the water, and the boat was gone. Thank God I have my life jacket on. But that's a weird feeling, because there ain't nobody there. And I'm watching the boat go. So I said, so in my mind, I said, I can catch it. I go all I can. And I probably shouldn't have did that, because then I was completely out of breath. And I'm still a quarter of a mile from the bank. But I thought I could catch it. and I never could. The wind was blowing too hard, it just kept going. So I got to the bank, thank God, and I took all my clothes off, wrung it out, the blowing nor'wester, and I know when the sun goes down, it's going to be in trouble. Wrung all my clothes out, I set it on the old duck blind there and let the wind blow on it, and I created me a path. I just created me a path, and I was like, God, if you're trying to talk to me, I'm listening. And had a talk with God. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we don't pay attention. And he's got to stop you. He's not trying to hurt you. He don't want to kill you. But he will if you don't listen. And I said, God, whatever you're trying to tell me, I'm listening to you. I don't want to think I know everything. Whatever you're trying to tell me, you tell me that. Let me know. And there were some things that I had to adjust in my life. And I wasn't putting the blame on nobody. It wasn't nobody. I was out there. I was in that water. And I made my little walking path because I knew once dark come, I have to stay walking. I couldn't see. It was no light, nothing. But I wanted to see if I walked it, matted it down, I could see where I walked so I could stay warm. Put everything back on. And I had a VHF radio in my front pocket. We always carried them on the airboat. And I had that VHF radio, and I said, well, I can maybe make a call out. I went to get it, and it was when I fell, it broke the housing. It was full of water. So I took the battery out, and I put it against the little bit of sunlight they had left and tried that. Didn't work. It was broken. So now I'm stranded. I see my boat cross the main canal, and I can see it way in the marsh over there. And it was still running. Still running. And it jammed up against the bank and stayed there. Then dark comes. And I got customers out. I'm thinking this guy got his phone. He's going to call Miss Charlotte and say, hey, Jesse ain't come got us. We don't know what to do. He didn't do none of that. He said, man, you're the captain. I ain't nowhere to question you. You knew what I figured you knew what you was doing. He said, we just grabbed our snack bag and we started eating snacks. I said, it's at 8 o'clock? You eating snacks in a duck blind, pitch black dark? You and the hunt's over, been over, the hunt's been over. Call somebody, tell them you think something's wrong. He never did call. So my wife, she calls my son in Florida and say, Phil, I think something happened to Dad. He said, well, send me the 360. I got 360 on the phone. Phone's on the airboat. Send the 360. And so Philip looked at the 360 track. He said, something happened to Dad. We don't never go where that boat's at. There's no reason for him to be there. It don't even make sense for him to be there. Something happened. So then, now they know to send emergency out, right? So they call my dad and Jack and Lee and all them. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching the horizon. Y'all about to watch me. I'm in that duck blind and I'm looking for any little light I see. Somebody coming to get me. And I see a light coming from the river. And I said, well, man, there's somebody on the levee. They're shining the light directly to me. I can see the levee. I can see the river. Shining the light directly to me. And the light, then a ship passes. And when the ship passes, the light's in front of the ship. I said, well, it ain't on the levee. That's a boat. That's a boat. And that light's just shining straight to me. Like they know where I'm at. Just straight for me like that. I'm like, man, they coming to get me. And that light gets closer and closer. Then I can hear that motor run. That's how close it is. I hear that boat. They go through the rocks, come in the canal. I'm like, man, they know what they're doing. This is dangerous territory. There's rocks, sandbars everywhere. They come all the way, and when they get close, I get out that blind, and I get to the edge of the bayou, and I grab some canes, and I grab me a handful, and I lean out, and I'm ready. When he gets there, I'm going to scream as loud as I can, hey, hey, and that boat passed. It was Brother Scott looking for me. In a company boat. Never heard me. You can't hear them boats. I'm screaming as loud as I can scream. Hey, I'm right here, brother. I'm right here. So he passes and he goes up a little further and he runs aground. Because I kept saying, man, if he goes that way, that's really shallow out there. So he run aground, he backed off, and he parked on the opposite side of the canal. And I can hear his generator running. But I'm downwind from him now. So my yells, not a chance of him hearing. So I'm sitting there waiting. You can not put one. I'm just going to talk for a little while. I just ended the first CD. So anyway, God's trying to get my attention, right? So I'm saying, God, and I'm steady praying, Lord, am I not listening to you? Am I not hearing you? Just speak to me, whatever it is you want me to hear. And so I'm like, he's right there. He's right there, and I'm freezing. And so I hear an airboat coming. You hear that boat coming from a long ways. I said, that's got to be my dad. It's got to be brother-in-law coming. And the airboat comes in the canal, and I said, God, I'm asking you to do something for me. Don't let my dad find that boat with me not in it. I'm asking you, because that would crush him. You are Father. I'm asking you, don't let him find that boat with me not in it. And they caught in that canal, they stopped. And when they stopped, they was right by the airboat. And I was like, God, don't let him go by that airboat. I'm asking you. And they cranked up again. They cranked up, and I went, well, I don't know where they going now. Here they come straight for me. I leaned out again. Hey, I'm here. I'm here. And they pass right by. It's an airboat. They got earmuffs on. They don't hear me. They pass, and they go to Brother Scott, and they talk, and I can hear them talking like they're by me. But they're up from me. The wind's blowing all that sound to me. And I was just thanking God. I said, God, I thank you for not letting my dad see that airboat empty, because it would have hurt him. And you don't want to hurt us, but we're listening. But God started answering me. He started guiding their footsteps. I'm in the blind. I'm not lost. I know where I'm at, but I'm not found. But God's working for me. And they come out, they come in the bayou, in the pond I'm in, and I see them coming. And I said, well, I got to go. So I had to get in the water, I had to go out in the water again. I got in the water again. And then I thought, well, I went too far. They're coming straight for me now. I mean, they're going to run over me coming, but they're going to find me. And here they come, pass right by me, and they pass me up. And Ethan turns back and said, there he is. And when I heard them words, it was the best words I ever heard in my life. There he is. And I know that made my dad feel good, because God answered my prayer. Sometimes God has to sound the alarm, and we don't like it. We don't like it at all. But he's doing it because he cares about us. And Teruah is because he cares. He don't have to. He can let us stay sleeping. Just stay sleeping. Keep your walls up. Do you. But that's not what your father does. He's building a house. And he's not going to let it happen out of the way. He's going to get your attention. He's going to say, I love you, but you got to quit this, this, and this. It's not going to work in the kingdom. It's not going to work. That's what Yom Teruah is all about. He's telling us something. He's trying to get our attention to wake up and be the people he wants us to be. Listen, we're going to be his sons and daughters. You and I better understand that. He's our father. We don't get to dictate how he's going to run this thing. We have to yield to him, humble ourselves, and let the hand of God come in and touch us. We're tainted. We've been fooled with by others. We're damaged goods. Yet he still wants me. We ought to hear the sound of the alarm and be glad to come in and humble ourselves to Yom Kippur. We ought to be happy about it, exciting, thrilled. This is what Yom Teruah is all about. It's to get our attention. It's for us to realize some things that we've forgotten. We've gotten lost in this, but I thank God for that. God answered me right there. I sat there and witnessed it being answered for me, because I know how damaging it would have been for a father to find his son's boat with him not in it. You know where your mind goes? It's just like you said, your mind goes all kind of places. You know, you're getting ready. You're getting ready to build your, you're building your house, getting ready. It goes all kind of places. And then all of a sudden, there comes those, and he camps out right there. But today's the day. The enemy's a liar. Your quiver will be full. God's going to tear those down, and you have to worry about it. Don't fear it, because your Father is building this for you. Your Father's doing it because he cares about you, loves you. So we serve a great God. We ought to take some time. We ought to take some time. It's just little things we fail to give God glory for. It's the first time I told that story here that way. That's what I was thinking about. That's what I was looking. First time you ever heard it from me, the way I told it here, because I wanted you to understand that God sometimes gets our attention. We don't understand it. But Yom Teruah is that time. He's saying, wake up, church. I love you. I compassionately love you. I have loving chesed toward you, mercy toward you. I'm giving you some time because I'm about to atone for you fully and completely. That's what he's telling us. So we want to be ready. So let's take some time before we take the second part. We're going to eat, spend some time with fellowship. Taking this word, let him massage it in. Some of this stuff hits hard. Some of it is just sitting there. You got to let him work it in a little bit. Let him work it in you. Say, God, work that word in me. Help me see it. Help me walk by it. Help me see your goodness in my life. He's so wonderful to us. And so before we do that, though, we need to pray for some folks. We need to come in agreement. So if you're here today and you got some walls, I don't care what they are. You can name whatever you want to name them. But the one particular that God spoke to me this morning, when I crossed that levee with that coffee in my hand, I saw how calm it was. It was so calm, the debris wasn't moving. It was just sitting there. And I saw Sister Jasmine with that beige on. That was the picture I seen. And God says, I'm going to tear them walls down today. I'm going to do that for her because I love her. I care about her. He said, I'm going to tear anybody else's walls down. It doesn't matter. I'm sounding the alarm to let you know. I'm here. I'm here to do the work. And we got to let him do the work. That's why he set these things up. We got invited into this. We ought to be so happy that we've been invited into this Yom Teruah. We don't get to come in and dictate what he's established. We have to humble ourselves and let him do the work. That's what he wants to do. And so let's stand together and let's just come out of our seats, all of us.